Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good song. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. Amen. Good stuff. It's a blessing to be here in church for sure. Amen. I love Sundays. I like every day of the week, amen, but definitely like Sunday and like Wednesdays too, the service on Wednesday. It helps me. I don't know. It's a long week, Sunday to Sunday, amen. It's good to have Wednesday, a little time of encouragement and praying together, a little fellowship, some time in the Word. And I think as Christians, we need that, amen. We need those times. And I praise the Lord that we have that available here, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. Just going to read the 14th verse, and then we're going to go a little further today. But here we are in the book of Mark and trying to work through the text. And I love the book of Mark because it's just concise and it keeps things just really the main points of it all. And here in the 14th verse of Mark chapter 6, it says, "And King Herod heard of him," referring to Jesus, "that King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." And so King Herod was the king, the proctor of that area of Galilee. Like Pilate would have been more southern there in Judea. Herod would have been north there in Galilee. And that's where the Lord spent a lot of his earlier years, was up in the Galilee region. That's where he was actually birthed there, in Nazareth. And then, of course, Capernaum was huge, different places up there. His fame, if you will, the Lord's spread abroad. And it became, you know, it wasn't like there was internet then or cell phone traffic and all that. I mean, so it was really just by mouth, right? The spread of who Jesus was, people talking and getting that out. But it says here that he heard of him. And then Herod thought, oh, wow, that this must be John the Baptist. Remember, we'll see in the text where it was actually Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded. And must be a little conviction in over the putting to death of a righteous man. That's interesting, and we'll look at that in just a few. But before we do, we're going to pray, ask God to help us. But we're going to first look today at this thought that Jesus actually developed a reputation. People were talking about him, and it even reached all the way up to Herod, which is fascinating. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. I pray that you would captivate us, Lord, with your word today. I pray that we would be interested in it. Lord, I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. I just love it. It's amazing. It's packed full of so many amazing records of history and the life of Jesus Christ and the movings about, and all the while being your Word, perfect and inspired. Absolutely, what you put together for us. It's our pathway of life, God. It contains everything in it that pertains to life and godliness. It answers every question. And there's nothing that we can't come to the Word of God with. Every concern, every trouble, every thought, everything, we can take that into the Word of God and come out with a direction from you and some help. And so, God, I pray today that you would help us with that, God, that you would tune us in and help us, Lord, even to pray now, just maybe silently as we're praying together, that we would invite you to show us something today that would be a help to each of us. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that in a crowd like this that you can speak to each of us through your word and by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us each individually exactly what we all need. And so help us with that today. And help me as I preach, Lord, to say nothing amiss, but just God, as you would have to be brought forth. Help us now, we pray. We love you. We thank you. We need you today. Move mightily in this service as your word's put forth in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the name of Jesus, his name was spread abroad. Amen. Now, why were people talking about Jesus? So much so that it would even come up to the ear of Jesus Christ. Why was that happening? Well, I want to give just three quick observations on this. Number one, because people were talking, they were talking about him because they were interested in him. You know, Jesus in that day as he walked, he was a very interesting person, meaning people were interested in what he was doing. Amen. And can I say this, that as Christians, We must become interesting to people again. You know, a lot of you know I started a YouTube channel this year, just my own personal thing, and it took off. I think today I saw it was like 530,000 subscribers, amen, on my YouTube channel. And I take no credit for it. It's all the Lord, amen. It's really not in me. But it's kind of funny, amen. And what has been good for me on that, I think I've posted now a little over 350 videos from May. My first day on YouTube was May 8th. It's Life and Godliness. And I was actually able to get that handle. They went to a handle setup, so I'm at Life and Godliness now, which is a blessing. And one of the things that I've really had to work on with YouTube is, there's like nuances of things. Like, I've talked to a lot of preachers, like, oh, yeah, you can't get on YouTube because, you know, no one's going to listen to you, or you're going to have to, you know, compromise this, compromise that. And if you say what the Bible says and all that, you're going to get lamb blasted and all these things. And I do at times have some interesting comments. I will agree that that is the case. I actually did one recently. I responded to a comment that didn't get published. So all my Bible content, I actually review every comment. I don't let it just get posted. I actually review that before it gets posted. My other content, I at times will just let that go and then remove as I need to. But one of the things that's taught me on YouTube is that it's not always the message that people reject. It's the person behind the message. It's how we communicate that message. It's how we present ourselves. It's how we speak. It's in what manner we speak. It's in the whole, just what they're seeing, right? And so I've studied, because if I get into something, I like to try to do it right, amen. I've really studied on things, and like I'll make little changes here and there, even like on the backdrop. So if the backdrop is too busy, for whatever reason, it sends a message to people that tunes them out. Stuff like that. It's just the whole tone. It's the speed that I speak. And so like I have a program now that I use mainly. There's a couple programs, but one I use mainly, and I actually adjust the speed as I'm listening in every part of it so that the speed is right, so that someone doesn't get bored, but at the same time it's not too fast so they can't hear. And so it's every detail, and so it's helped me become more cognizant of, and I'll tell you why, because you'll notice, like, I'll have a video, and I'll get like 50, 60, 70, 80 views. And if that's, when I first started, I'd have videos that would do 2 and 3 views, and now really my low would be somewhere just under, just at 100, or up to millions. So it just depends. Now my Bible content, I typically get somewhere between 100 views and about 5,000 on most of my Bible content. And so, but it's amazing how as I study and I just try to be aware of my audience, I've had some pretty strong content on the devil and sin and righteousness and all on and on and on and on. And it's amazing how well received it seems to be, at least when I say received. So I watch all the analytics. So like if someone tunes in and they're clicking out at 2, 3, 4 seconds and it's say a minute video, well, they lost interest quick, right? And it might be because they saw my face. It might be because they heard something or saw. It could be a million reasons, right? And so you study those things and without taking anything personal, because I understand that some people are going to like what you do and some people won't, and on and on and on. It's just the way it is. But here's the deal. I think there's a lot of reasons why the Lord led me to start that. Number one, there's very few good King James solid doctrine stuff like that being put out on YouTube that people watch. There's a lot of things out there that nobody watches, right? And so I don't want to be consumed with that. So I wanted it to be, I know there's some from our church that tune in daily to the different Bible devotions and everything. I do a daily devotion every morning, 7 a.m. it goes up. And so since May, every day, I haven't missed a day, there's a video that goes up in the morning, every morning, as a devotion. And right now I'm doing a series on the sayings that we use commonly that are rooted in the Bible. So anyway, I said all that to say this. We got to stop using the excuse Nobody wants to hear what we have. Yes, they do. But maybe you're the reason why people don't want to hear what you have to say. It's not what we have to say. It's how we say it. It's our attitude, right? It's everything about us. Are we interesting? Because the Bible's interesting. You can't jump into this. I mean, the Bible is amazing. Amen? But a lot of times the way, Sunday school teachers, you understand this. You have a class, and keeping their attention is sometimes difficult. But you, as a good teacher, you work at becoming a better teacher, right? Why? Because you love those students and you want them to tune in and you want them to get something from the message. A lot of people don't make good teachers because they don't want to put forth that work. They don't want to put forth the effort. And they'll say something like that. That kid's just a bad kid. There's no kid that's bad in the sense of they're never going to get it. No, every person has potential. And I want to connect with people, right? And I'm not going to change the message to do it. It's a non-negotiable. The Word of God, we're not changing the message. And so we have to put forth the study into it. I have a great series. By the way, if you're a teacher, some of y'all have seen it, some of you haven't. It's 7 Laws of the Teacher. Henderson. Howard Henderson is the guy if you're interested in teaching at all and you've never seen that, I have the videos. It's amazing. And then there are 7 Laws of the Learner, and that's a guy named Bruce Wilkerson. It's good, but it's not as good as the first. But if we really want to be able to communicate, understand this, you're going to have to become interesting to people. Amen. Who was the guy that said, if nothing else, set yourself on fire, people at least watch you burn? Wesley, yeah. And so if that's all that needs to happen, amen, do something, amen, to draw some attention, because we don't want to stand in the way and we don't want to make excuse and say, you know what, the world's just wicked. It is, but what they need is the Word of God. So we got to get to that place where we're interesting again, amen, whatever that means, without being lawless unto God, without going against the Scriptures. We don't have to be strange and weird in a bad way. We can be weird or strange in a good way, meaning we're peculiar or whatever, amen. But we ought to be interesting. And God forbid that we make the message of God anything but exciting. Because it is. Jesus, when he walked the earth, amen, was he different? Yes. Was he a spectacle? Yes. Was he a little peculiar, a lot peculiar to the people? Yes, all the above. But people were flocking to him because of the message and because of the power by which he spoke and also performed, because there was a lot of things happening there too as well. And so people were talking about Jesus because he interested them. And by the way, one of the best ministries to get involved with, if you want to really see this, is really in youth ministry. Because youth are more honest than adults. On the surface, anyway. Amen? They tell you what they think. Amen? Very quickly. And so it's hard, in a sense, to teach youth because of that. And if you're prone to get your feelings hurt, don't do it. Amen? Don't do it. Because you'll get your feelings hurt, amen, if you're working with the youth. Amen? And they don't even try. They don't know how to cloak how they feel yet, like adults do, amen. Man, it's been a really good service, Pastor. Oh, I can't stand that guy. Right? They don't know how to do that yet. They just don't know how to do that yet, amen. Not that anybody here does that. That's good, amen. But I'm just saying, that is a great ministry to get involved with, just to learn that, because you do see that, and it's right there. So if anyone can pique someone's interest, amen, I think it was Jesus. Absolutely, amen. He absolutely knew. He knew how to ask the right questions. He knew where to put the pauses, amen. Studying the life of Christ and how he handled himself with opposition or those that were interested, like Nicodemus. He was interested. How did Jesus deal with him? And on and on and on. You need to get interested in Christ to really learn these things. But he was a master at this. So, three observations. Number one, people were talking about Jesus because he interested them. Amen. Secondly, we find that when Herod heard of Jesus, this is interesting, he connected Jesus with John the Baptist. Amen. Now, if you're connected with John the Baptist because they hear you and they're like, he's just like John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. That is absolutely something that you should be interested in. Amen. I mean, he was an amazing figure. I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, like to poo-poo John the Baptist. I think because the devil wants to poo-poo John the Baptist. Amen. And so it's easy. But he was an amazing figure that captivated people in a time that no one was talking about the material that God gave him to speak on and preach on. Amen. And he was amazing on how he brought that forth and how he was a forerunner pointing people to Jesus, which is exactly what we're called to do. Amen. So anyway, Herod heard of Jesus and he connected the two so much that Herod would say, I think this one named Jesus is a resurrected John the Baptist. Amen. And so that is very interesting. And we're going to look a little deeper at that in a few minutes. Amen. But just know this, that you can get an idea of what people think of you based on who they connect you with. Does that make sense? You can get an idea of what people think of you just by who they connect you or associate you with. Amen? And so, again, on all these things, if you're going to learn anything, you can't ignore things or act like, oh, well, they're just stupid people because they made that connection. No, no, no. No, we want to listen to that. Amen? We want to listen to that. And then honestly consider the message that it gives to us. Amen? And so in our own lives, just think through. Who do people connect me with? Right? Who do they connect me with? Is it other good brothers and sisters in Christ that have a great testimony, that are unafraid to preach the gospel, on and on and on and on? Or do they connect me with a crowd maybe that has nothing to do with Christianity? Or maybe they connect me with a complaining crowd. Or a crowd that's off doctrinally, right? You can just ask yourself those questions, because for Jesus, they connected him with John the Baptist. That's a good one right there, amen? Praise the Lord for that. Third takeaway initially from this verse is that mighty works did show forth from him. Mighty works, amen? Look over at John 14, mighty works. The phrase mighty works actually comes from the word dunamis. And the word dunamis is power. It is raw power. It's like dynamite type power. Amen. And so these mighty works were powerful works. And powerful works is what was wrought by God through Jesus Christ. And people knew it. There's something about this guy because things happen around him. Amen. And can I say, in the day that we live, we need to become very interested if you're going to be interesting. Everybody likes to see things blow up. Amen. Everybody likes to see things that are moving, that are, you know, just have some power behind them. Amen. People like that stuff. You say, yeah, we live in the entertainment day. Why? You can dismiss it if you want. Or you can ask, why does that interest people? The same reason why it interests you. Amen. The same reason it interests you. I mean, we like action. We like activity. We like things that are moving. We like things that you know, go boom. Amen. It's just the way it is. What kind of news actually goes forth? News that actually has some substance to it that, you know, kind of shakes things up a little bit. Now, a lot of that goes the wrong direction, and people fabricate stuff and slander things and tell stories on people. That's the wrong direction. Amen. Because it goes against the word of God. But we just need to take note that mighty works, Jesus did mighty works. It was power for effect, amen. Those early years of Christ and the apostles as they were given sign gifts, those things they did solidified the message. But how? By drawing a crowd, by making it interesting where people would actually tune in. Amen. He did a lot of mighty works. I know you're over at John 14. I'll be there in just a second. Amen. But he healed the blind, the lame, the dumb. He raised the dead. That's pretty powerful. Amen. He blessed the fishes and loaves twice, amen. And he fed a lot of people. That was pretty powerful, amen. He calmed the winds and the waves. And he would actually speak, and when he would speak, he would call down the religious people of the day. Nobody else would do that. I mean, he absolutely was a powerful figure on every corner, amen. He was powerful, and no one doubted that. Even when he was 12 years old, sitting there talking with the lawyers and the religious leaders, he was powerful at 12 years old, amen. And we see this in his life. Look at John 14. Thomas saith unto, verse number 5, John 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Very familiar verse, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, watch this. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's a challenging passage. Amen. Jesus is saying, if you believe in him, starting here primarily dealing with the apostles, but if you watch the progression of Scripture throughout, where the apostolic works would cease because the purpose had ceased and the Word of God was complete, even in the midst of all that, know this, that God wants to do powerful works through our lives as Christians. Why? Because it's interesting. It's interesting enough to pull people in to hear the message that we have to speak. Preached over at Liberty, their missions conference this last week. And I dealt with faith one night. And then the next night I dealt with, which I've taught here, but dealing with the reality that God rewards you and I for doing what he's commanded us to do, namely winning souls. He rewards us handsomely for that. Amen. And that you can get on God's payroll, if you will, if you'll be a soul winner with a right spirit, a right attitude, not being a complainer. Amen. And you can tell that people were like, I don't know about all this. Amen. Because we've been taught that we got to be miserable if we're right with God. We've been taught that I can't be too happy in life. I'll feel guilty for that. Whereas God said, he's given us all things richly to complain about. Is that what he says? He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Amen. Don't get too excited about the fact that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Don't get too excited. Amen. Don't get too excited about the fact that you have an open invitation to come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Don't get too excited about your open invitation to the throne room of God. Amen. I mean, God has given us something on earth, and we treat it like it's just, it's caused us to have a humdrum existence. Oh, life is so hard. Is it? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, amen. It works patience. Let her have a perfect work. That patience, let it have a perfect work in your life, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Jesus said, as I depart, I'm sending you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, and you will do greater works on earth than I've done. That's what he said. Question I have for you is this. How's the mighty works going in your life? Amen. So what are our mighty works of God today? What are they? I'm going to give you a few of these. These are the areas that we should excel in. These are the areas that we should appear to the world as having mighty, dunamis, dynamite type works going on in our life. By the way, I've been talking to that Greg McBride. Please continue to pray for him. He's that guy. I thought he was a pastor. I kind of pressed him on that a little bit. Lo and behold, he was just he called himself a lay pastor who was kind of under to another, whatever, but he's not really maybe as well criteriaed as I thought. So I'm talking with him, and he's the guy that's totally rejected the New Testament, came out of Christianity, he's rejected the New Testament, rejected Jesus Christ, rejected Paul. He blasts them all, amen. And we're going back and forth yesterday, probably for 4 hours, off and on, texting back and forth. And it was pretty amazing. At one point, I said to him, you are such a blessing to talk to. I said, I really mean, you are such a blessing. I'm so glad that God has, brought us together to talk to you. And I said, I just thank the Lord for you. And he didn't respond. He's probably thinking, this guy's crazy. Because a few times before that, I quoted a passage in reference to Satan. He goes, are you calling me Satan? And I didn't respond. I wanted to say if the shoe fits. Anyway, but I mean, it gets, man, we're right at it, amen. On and on and on and on and on. It's great. And, I told him, he's mentioned something about debating. I said, I don't debate people. I said, we're not called to debate. We're called to believe and proclaim. That's it. I said, if you think I'm debating you, this ain't debate. I'm just proclaiming the word. That's it. And I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad. Amen. I want to meet him. I want to meet him and have just some good, intense fellowship eye to eye. I think that'd be great. Amen. But we have what God has given to us, means by which to show forth mighty works. And by the way, yesterday I gave him part of my testimony. And he said something like, well, he goes, we don't base truth on experience. So I quoted to him Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's the next word? It's the evidence of things not seen. You can't discount my changed life. Something changed me. And so I told him, something needs to change you because you're a sinner and you're lost and you're going to hell. And I'm that plain with him. Amen? As we should be. And so there ought to be something about us in reference to our salvation. This will be the first mighty, powerful act that we have to display before people, is our very salvation, a changed life. You as a believer, by the way, if you have a profession of Jesus Christ and your life never changed, that is an issue. How can the Holy Spirit of God move into you and you not change? How? When all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, when I'm just a sinner, amen. I mean, I fall short of the glory of God at every point. And then the Holy Spirit moves in, who leads me and guides me in all truth, and nothing changes. That is not what I would call mighty power. No, not at all. When the Holy Spirit, what happened to the apostles and the disciples in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit moved in? Did they stay the same? No, people are like, what happened to you? I mean, you guys are just a bunch of ignorant folk. Man, you're speaking now like with authority. It's like you guys just a short while ago, 10 days ago, you were running for your life. You were scared to death. And now all of a sudden, you're in the public square. You're just preaching this stuff and you don't even care what happens to you. What happened? Holy Spirit moved in. You see, when the Holy Spirit moves into us at salvation, That is a mighty work now that happens within us. And it should be a display to others that something just drastically happened. Amen. It's a mighty work. So that would be the first of the mighty works. Secondly, look over at Romans 8. The daily deliverance in our lives, which is a continuation of that doctrine of salvation. The word salvation means to be delivered. Daily, we need deliverance from all the things that are coming at us. Amen. Hey, Joel, could you poke James? He's trying to pray there with his. Go ahead and pray with your eyes open. That'd be good. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Are the hard spots in your life going to separate you from Christ? Or distress, where you're just stressed out, amen? Or persecution, people acting against you? Or famine, no food? Or nakedness, no clothes? Or peril, going through hardship? Or sword, being persecuted? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things. I think that's what it says, right? My Bible, I got it right. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The second way that we display God's mighty working is through our daily deliverance, which is wrought through us as believers, amen, such that the world sees us not as complainers, not as those that the world is getting the best of, not of those that are constantly, you know, being acted against, and we're just some little poor, pitiful folk that can't do anything about it, amen. We, no matter what is going on in our lives by the Holy Spirit of God, are more than conquerors, amen. And the world ought to see this mighty power being worked out in us daily in the home when the kids are acting like kids, amen. When marital problems exist and when problems happen in the workplace and we get the flat tire and everything else, amen. The world ought to see an expression of the power of God being worked out in our lives. And when the world doesn't, we make excuse, say, yep, nobody wants to hear the message. No, not from you. Not from you who shows forth no power. No, they don't want to hear it from you. It's not the message. It's the messenger. You see, one of the things I preached when I was over there at Liberty was the fact that our faith and the evidence of it is the foundation from which we speak the gospel from. And if we don't have that foundation, when we try to speak the gospel, they won't receive it because they don't see it. They got to see it first. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Who's the evidence to others? As faith is lived out in my life, it becomes the evidence that others see, which drives them to the Word of God. So I got to figure out what makes that person tick. Do you think anybody thought that way in reference to Jesus? Oh, yeah. What is up with that guy? I gotta go hear this guy. That should be exactly what they think of us. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that person, but I gotta hear what they got to say. Why? Man, look what's happening in their life, right? That's deliverance in our daily lives. What problems trip you up? Have you searched the scriptures on those problems? Does the Bible give you justification to be tripped up by those problems? Financial problems. Is that what the Bible said? It's okay to be defeated if it's financial in nature. Is that what it says? It's a relationship. It's okay to be defeated if it's relationship in nature. Is that what it says? It's okay to be defeated if it's job related. No. Is there anything that God says, you don't need to be more than a conqueror here because I understand? Is there anything like that? Health? Is health a reason? My health is failing, I feel bad. And I feel for those that feel bad. I don't like to feel bad. I've had tremendous headaches to where I've asked God, take me now. And my head's hurt so bad, right? So I understand health can be tremendous. But is that a reason to no longer be a conqueror? No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. You just don't know what they did to me. And what they did to Jesus, was that less than what you're going through? Because he did pretty well going through it. And he's our example. Right? And so in salvation, we ought to show forth mighty works. In deliverance daily, our life should show forth mighty works. By the way, if you're praying for someone to get right, and they're close to you, and every day they see in your life failure, you might as well stop praying, because that ain't getting through. Does that make sense? So where do you get that from? The Bible. If you're in your own life, you've not received the message. If you're not a believer in expression and in you living that message, Romans 2. It tells us that before we can teach others, we have to first teach ourselves the truth. And if you're not living the truth, you've not been taught it yet. You have to first receive that message before you can expect those that you're trying to tell or teach it to receive that message. And if you're trying the manipulation route, well, I don't want to act like I'm happy because I want them to feel pain and pressure of living with a miserable person until they get right. They ain't ever going to get right. Because that ain't how it works. Nowhere does it say manipulate people that way to get them to change. Amen. And if you have a verse, I'm interested in hearing it, but I think it would only be a false application of a scripture. All right, I have more. Number one way to live the mighty works of God out in our life, first is with salvation. Second is with deliverance in our daily lives. Third is living by faith, not by fear. I've already quoted Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, by faith we stand. And I remind you, in 2 Timothy, it says that we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And we're called to walk by faith, not by... Man, that's a tough one, because we have eyeballs. And we see things like we see things. And you can't tell me I'm not seeing what I'm seeing, because I'm seeing it. And it's scaring me. I don't like what I'm seeing. And that thought permeates us, and it becomes what we walk by. And I know we as Christians say, oh, I'm trying to live by faith, brother. Are you walking by faith? Are you doing what you know God has directed you to do with the right spirit and by love, regardless of what you perceive the outcome to be? That's where the fear comes in. We start going through all of the possibilities, and we're like, oh, I can't do that because of this, and I can't do that because... That was... the Pharisees did that. We don't try to figure out the end and then manipulate our walking here so we come to there. Because what God has called us to do, we can't get there by our own reason. If I was to look back in my life and say, okay, this is where I'm at today in my life, could I 10 years ago have developed a plan to get me here? No. When I was a lost teenager at home, even before that, when my dad left our home when I was 10 years old, and my mom had to go to work, and I was pretty much on the streets of downtown Akron. We had a home and all that, but my brother and I ran the streets, and we were all kinds of trouble. Could I have developed a plan from there to get me to Indianapolis 3 years into it where I would come to this church and hear the gospel? No. So why do we think then as believers we have to manipulate the process and help God out? I think it's there in Matthew where it tells us we're just supposed to live today, right, and take no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought sufficient for the of things of itself, right? Something like that, sufficient unto the day thereof. So the point is this, is that just live today. Amen. Like God wants you to live. We don't even know if we have tomorrow. So stop trying to figure out tomorrow. Let God handle that. So how do you do that? By faith. Say, yeah, but if I don't do this today, tomorrow's going to be a wreck. No. Because the same God that's with you today will be with you tomorrow. And when you add God to any equation, you're more than a conqueror. That's where your faith is. Your faith has to be not in what you can do, but in what God does and always does. You see, that's what it means to walk by faith. That's why, what a powerful testimony. Someone in the world sees this going through a hard time. They're like, I just don't know how you're doing it. And you say, you know what, personally, I couldn't do it, but I'm just trusting God. And this is, God has given me his word. I love him. He loves me. And every day he does this for me. Every day he just delivers me. Amen. That's what living by faith is. And living by faith is powerful because it removes fear. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. Amen. God's not called us to live by fear. Fear of God in a right way, but not fear of circumstance. Not fear of the unknown. Not fear of those. Not fear of man. We don't live in fear of those things. We love God and we're fearful enough not to get on the wrong side of God. He's powerful. Amen. But the point is that I'm going to live by faith. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God was given to us to lead us every day in paths of righteousness? And that if we lack wisdom, all we got to do is ask God, and he'll give us wisdom. And he sets us around a great multitude of counselors. We have a tremendous group of brothers and sisters in Christ who are just a text or a call away. Amen. You don't got to do this thing on your own. If you're going through a hard time, there is somebody else. If you pray and say, God, I'm struggling right now, who would you have me talk to? It may be me. It may be somebody else. Reach out, amen, and engage. But don't walk in fear. No, walk by faith, amen. Walk by faith. Living by faith, not fear. We can show God's mighty power through this. How about this? Forgiveness on display is another mighty power of God. You forgave them? Don't you know what they did? Oh, I do. But I also know what Jesus did for me, and he's forgiven me. Forgiveness is powerful. By the way, a Christian who is harboring unforgiveness and bitterness is a miserable Christian and can do nothing but wreck every relationship in their lives. Amen. Say why? I could show you a lot of scriptures on exactly why that is, amen. It's a root or bitterness that troubles you, thereby many are defiled. There's a lot of pastors that deal with that topic. You might say, I'm on my own now. I don't need them. Oh, contraire, mon frere. You need to have a clear conscience before God and man. And that becomes a testimony, amen, a testimony of God's mighty power. How about the love of God displayed in our lives? God's love is powerful. Even like talking with this Greg, you can tell normally he's used to people getting mad at him for all just back and forth. Now I just get excited. It's exciting. Amen. He showed me last night a quote that Jesus gave, said, quoting Jeremiah, but if you look back at the Old Testament, it looks like it was actually Zechariah. And how it wasn't an exact quote, and Jesus even got the prophet wrong, and on and on and on. Man, that almost shook my faith. I'm just kidding. And anyway, so I'm praying over it, looking at it. I'm just asking God, what's up here? It's your word, right? And God just flooded me with, were all the words? It just said spake by Jeremiah. It didn't say that he wrote down. It says just spake. And the thought came to me, I looked it up. Jeremiah was a prophet some 80 years. And he wrote, okay, the four books that Jeremiah wrote, what were they? Jeremiah, Lamentations, FBI students, help me. Give me two more college students. Nobody? Oh, that's too bad. First and Second Kings. He wrote four books, 80 years. You think he said anything more than he wrote in those books? Sure he did. And so when Jesus said, Jeremiah said this, I believe Jesus. And just because we can't go back and look in the Old Testament and find that exact quote, doesn't mean that Jeremiah didn't say it. He did say it. Amen? And there's a whole lot more there than that. But the point is that people like that want to shake us. Do you realize people you work with are trying to shake your faith? People you work with are trying to get you to listen to rotten music. Hello. That includes CCM. Stay away from it. Amen. Be careful of those beats and everything else that's in there. Watch it. People are trying to get you to go to places you know you shouldn't go. People are trying to get you to say things you know you shouldn't say. People are trying to get you to engage in conversations that you know you shouldn't be a part of. Why? Because they're trying to see if there's a mighty power there or if there's not. And if there's not, they can go on their way feeling a little bit justified about their sin. But if they come up against somebody that really is a true believer in Jesus Christ and standing upon the rock and living by his mighty power, that shakes them. That shakes them. And they become interested. What makes you tick? You see, and that's what they need to see. So forgiveness shows that. True love of God displayed through our lives and care for them shows that. Answered prayer shows that. Amen. Now, does God answer every one of our prayers? I believe the answer is yes to that. Amen. Not always to our liking, but his will is always right. And some things he can't give us in that time because we're not ready or it's not right in how it will work in someone else's life. But I believe God does answer every prayer according to his will. Amen. And so answer prayer. We ought to, like on Wednesday night, all right, testimony time. It's good. Hey, I just recognize this. God answered my prayer. That is a good thing. Amen. As we note that. And we need to be praying. Last night before I was getting ready to get off of the, I told Greg I had to run. And he didn't respect that. He kept trying to talk to me. And I said, oh, and by the way, I said, I got to go because I got to get ready for, you know, service tomorrow and all that. And I said, I just want you to know, I'm praying for yours and your wife's salvation in Jesus Christ. He made some comment. I just repeated it. I just want you to know, I am praying for your and your wife's salvation in Jesus Christ. I always got to mention that because he doesn't believe in Jesus. And I hope he's thinking about that right now. God, remind him of that. I hope. Amen. Because prayer of a saint who's walking by faith is powerful. It's powerful. It's about time we stop running and hiding from the world. We stand back up and say, I can do all things. Not in pride. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? I'm going to just rattle off four more of these. God supplying our needs should be a powerful testimony to the lost. Being content and at peace in our lives in the midst of the storms should be a powerful, mighty testimony in our lives. Having wisdom to counsel others should be a powerful testimony of God's working in our lives. Lastly, this is amazing. Raising a godly seed in the midst of this perverse generation will be not, oh, I got lucky, hit the lottery. Glad I had good kids born to me. No, all are sinners. Raising a godly seed is a powerful testimony for Jesus Christ. Because it ain't happening in very many places, amen. I want to have you turn over to 1 John 5, make remarks, jump back to Mark 6, and then we'll be done. Our lives should be lives of victory, not defeat. And I'm not saying live a false life of perceived victory, like maybe like a Facebook mentality to where only the highlights do I put on there, and I don't mention the lowlights. No, I mean from within. I'm not trying to lay a weight on you to fake it. Oh, no. You don't have to fake it. You're a Christian. You get the Holy Spirit of God living with you. You're born again. Now, if you're not born again, the only way you can do it is to fake it, and you're going to get wore out trying, amen? But if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, He has given you grace, and that grace is power. It is God's divine influence upon your heart to live a supernatural life in a natural world. That's what it does. We literally live a life of immortality in a mortal body through Christ. That's what He's given to us to live, and it should show, amen? And it shouldn't be, the way that that's done is, just get out of the way. If you'll cease from getting in God's way, this is what should come forth. That's the difference. If you have to make this happen, it's not God. But we can get in the way and disrupt the mighty works of God through unbelief and through manipulation. But you as a believer, if you'll just stop getting in God's way and just trust Him, these mighty works will shine through. Like when God says, you need to witness to that person. And you say, whoa, I don't have time, or I don't have this, or what if they ask questions? See, you're getting in His way. If God said, go witness to that person, and you said, yes, sir, and go witness, that's staying out of God's way. I'm just following Him. I'm walking by faith. If God says, hey, give this to this person or to whatever, and you say, oh, I can't because I got this, you just got in His way. Does that make sense? But if God says, give, and you say, oh, sure, and you go and give, then you let God work through you. Is this making sense? When God says, hey, forgive, and you say, what do you mean forgive? Don't you realize what they did? By the way, God does realize. Don't you realize what they did? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, you just got in His way. If you would say, oh, you said forgive? Okay, God, I trust that as I forgive, not give them what I feel like they deserve, as I forgive them and release them from the debt that I say they owe me, apology or whatever it is, I'm going to release them from that, God, and I'm going to commit them to You, because I know You'll do a whole lot better than I can to help them, because the goal is to help them, not to hurt them, right? Because You love. So when God says forgive that person, you don't get in His way by saying no. You say, okay, God, by faith, because Your word said to forgive, I'll forgive. I just got out of His way, and now His works can show forth through me. Is this making sense? That's what living by faith is. It's just staying out of God's way. It's not making it happen. It's stop being the one that inserts yourself. When God says something, just listen and follow it by faith. You see, that's what it means to live by faith. All right, 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever, I told them there, I've said it here, need to make a message. I'm a whosoever and a whatsoever, amen? Amen. For whatsoever is born of God, what's it say? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you realize what you're saying? He's God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's God. And He is not inept. He is alive and well and involved and loves you. And He wants to see you helped and people saved more than we do. Amen. And He's given us His word, which is the key to everything we do in this book. This book unlocks every equation. He's a mathematical God. This book unlocks every equation to everything we face all the time, but it's not always going to make sense to you. Most of the time, it won't make sense to you. That's why it requires us to follow it by faith. I'll follow you, God, even though I don't understand it. I still trust you, you see. And if you'll do that, you will begin to bring forth mighty works of God. Let's stop right there. God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, God, for your mighty works which you displayed on earth in so many ways that we can't even name probably a portion of them. But what we can name and what we have seen through your word, we stand in awe of. And then in John, where it says that we'll do even more in the area of mighty works than you did, God, it just blows us away, and we stand in a humbled spot and we think, how in the world? But the answer is only by faith. God, this world needs to see some interesting Christians again. God, this world needs to see some people living by faith that pique the interest in this world which is riddled with turmoil and heartache and, God, loss and hopelessness and depression and on and on and on and anger and defeat. God, this world needs to see the mighty works of God being lived out in some people that are born again. We don't know really anything except what you show us and lead us in, and we're willing to follow you. And as we do that, God, we overcome, and it becomes a mighty, powerful work on earth for the world to behold. And it sets it up such that we'll have an opportunity to share with them what happened to us as we got saved and how they can be born again also. Oh, God, I pray you'd speak to us through this message. Thank you, God, for Jesus and how his fame went abroad, how even Herod heard. Oh, God, might what's happening here even make it to the governor's office, Lord? Might it even make it all the way to the White House, God? The mighty works that are happening in the people here at this church. God, help us, God, to make an impact in this world because we are willing just to live by faith and allow your works to flow through us. Bless, I pray. Help, Lord, might there be someone here today that needs to be born again. Might they come even at this invitation time and allow someone to take the word of God and show them what great thing Jesus Christ has done to pay for their sin, to go into the grave and raise again that third day, conquering sin, death, and hell, so that they can be forgiven as that blood's been applied. And God, if there are some Christians here and they've not been living that overcoming life, I pray today they would have heard something to help them. Bless, I pray, this time that we have of invitation in Jesus' name.